Buenos días. See, you guys speak Spanish already. I was thinking of maybe bringing the whole message in Spanish today, but I'm not going to do that. I know Tom will understand. I know Charles will understand. Just a quick question before we begin. How many of you are still full from Thanksgiving? Yeah. I just want to let you know, just in case you see me, you know, my belly's popping out a little bit because I'm still full from Thanksgiving. But it's such an honor to be here today with you and be able to share this word. Yes, middle schoolers can go out now. We are in this new series that lead pastor Tyler kicked off last week. Shout out to Tyler and Nicole. I believe they're watching online, so a shout out to them. How cool is it to be a lead pastor? You preach 1 week and then you go on vacation. Man, that is awesome. I want that gig. But we're super excited for this Advent series. Pastor Tyler kicked us off last week and he spoke about hope. And Advent, as we all know, is just a kind of time of preparation and anticipation and reflection of the celebration of our King, and his name is Jesus. And we're just so grateful that he came into the world, that he's rescued us, and that he's brought us peace. And this is not a counterfeit peace that the world offers. This is the real and true peace. And we kicked off this series last week, there were a couple of things that just really spoke to me last week. I love what the writer in Hebrews says about hope. Hebrews 6:19 says that he is the hope of our life. Hope is an anchor for our souls. It is steadfast. It is sure. And most importantly, it gives us access into God's presence. As I believe, Jesus is the hope of the world, but he uses the local church to preach about that hope. How many can say amen? Amen. Remember, I like an active audience. So if you want to shout me down, if you want to say amen, if you want to say preach it, if you want to say he's good looking, you know, any of those things, I'm more than welcome to it. I love my man Robbie Shack. He is just so into the message. So anyway, hope keeps our hearts steady and settled because he who promised is faithful. We don't focus on the promise itself, but we place our focus on he who promised. I've been disappointed in promises before. How many of us have been disappointed in promises before? And I've had this tendency in my walk with Jesus that he'll promise me something, and after a while, I take my focus off of he who promised, and I focus on the promise. And let me tell you something, the promise itself will bring disappointment if that's where our focus is. But when we focus on him who promised, we know that he will fulfill his promise and we will never be disappointed. And he spoke about the gap between expectation and experience. How many of you remember that? There's a gap between expectation and experience. He spoke about this tension between hope and hopelessness. And there is a gap between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise. There is this waiting. There is this in-between time. There is this process. And I believe that in the gaps, in the tension, in this waiting area, right, I believe it is the peace of God that will keep us on pace. I believe it is the peace of God that will help us to continue to walk towards that promise that he has given us. And I believe that peace fills in all the gaps. In the middle of the tension, we have peace. God's peace keeps us in the process and in the waiting. Now, peace is what keeps us in the in-between. How many of us are in the in-between right now? In between the promise given and the promise fulfilled. And it's not an easy journey. It's a tough journey. I can speak to you from my life experience. The Lord spoke to me in 1996. I had just been saved for about 3 months, and I was at a youth service, and this youth pastor came to me, and he prayed over me, and he started prophesying over me. He says, "The Lord is calling you to be a pastor." And I was like, "Nope, don't want to do that." I don't want to get up on stage. I was deathly afraid of public speaking. So I was like, man, I think the Lord is pranking me. I don't think this is my calling. I want to be behind the scenes. And that was in 1996. And I did not become a pastor until 2013. So we see that there was this 17, 18 year preparation time. There was this process of about 17 to 18 years where it was God's love and his peace that really kept me in that process and in that journey until I was able to fulfill my call. And there's this beautiful, just warm and tender invitation before us today that we have the peace of God. It is not something we manufacture. It is something that God has deposited in us, and we have access to God's peace at any moment. How many of you can say amen? Amen. Peace is what keeps us in the in-between. And although there's uncertainty, how many of you can say amen? There's doubt, and they will rise up at times, but we have the supernatural peace of God. Amen? This is something not like the world gives, because the world gives you a counterfeit peace. There are people that say, well, if my bank account is, you know, pretty loaded, then I'll have peace. If my relationships are in the right standing, then, well, I have peace. But the promise of God is that we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. We can have peace in the midst of war. We can have peace in the midst of relationship issues and financial issues and illnesses, because this is not something that we manufacture. It is something that God has given to us freely. It's something that God has deposited in us, and it is a fruit of the Spirit. So there's something in us, there's something supernatural moving on the inside of us that will keep us in the middle of the waiting, that will keep us in the tension, and will continue to help us to walk forward. Peace in the dictionary. How many of you like to go to the dictionary to get the full understanding of the word? I love that. I'm a dictionary nerd. And peace, this is what the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, that peace is a state of tranquility, a state of security, to be able to experience harmony and the absence of conflict of war. That's what it says. Now, when we talk about God's peace, we're talking about something deeper, something wider, something more powerful, and something supernatural. Now, the word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. How many of you ever heard that? During prayer this morning, Anthony was leading us in the prayer this morning, and I was like, man, this guy's using all of my notes. He was just kind of wheeling and dealing, and he was sharing, and I was like, man, we are in one spirit. We got the same haircut, too, so I think that may have something to do with it. But the word shalom, which is peace in the Hebrew, or irene in the Greek, we see that in the Hebrew, this word shalom, it communicates to us something so much more than just a feeling or a state of tranquility or security. It actually communicates to us something much deeper, something wider, and more powerful of what it means to have the shalom or the peace of God. Actually, in the book of Proverbs, we read that when it speaks of shalom, listen to this, it speaks of a broken relationship being reconciled to bring shalom. So those of us that are in a vital walk with Jesus, those of us who have an intimate relationship with our God, we actually walk in peace because our relationship with him has been reconciled. Our relationship with him has been restored to the place where we experience all the benefits and all the blessings of the Father. How many of you can say amen? I have been in situations where I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was I going to do, but I experienced this powerful peace in my heart and in my mind. And it's so good to know that you and I can actually walk in peace no matter what seasonal reality we're experiencing. We can walk in the supernatural, powerful peace of God because we are his children. How many of you can say amen? There's benefits to being children. How many of you can say amen? Shalom not only means the peace of God, because shalom is revealed as the reconciliation of all things to God through the work of Christ. So the work of Christ not only reconciles creation to creator, but it also pours out this supernatural peace where we're walking in total relationship with our God. We are also walking in peace. Listen to this. Shalom means to flourish and to be whole. Shalom means to flourish, to be whole, and also to be complete. It also means to walk in safety. How many of you feel safe in God's presence? How many of us feel safe just knowing that our Father is walking with us? For his name, as Jenny said, is Emmanuel. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, one of God's characteristics is that he is omnipresent. That means that he cannot be absent. Even if he wanted to. He can't be absent because it goes against his nature. It goes against his attributes. And that is a promise to you and I that as we navigate this life, this journey called life, in the ups, in the downs, in the good, in the bad, in the ugly, we know that we can have peace at every single moment. Now, are we going to doubt? Absolutely. Are we going to go through struggles? Absolutely. But peace is only a prayer away. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. Yeah, absolutely. So it means to be safe, to be complete. And as a matter of fact, Jewish people till this day greet each other with shalom. When they say that word, this word, it means may you be full of well-being. So I want us to practice that this week. When you see somebody say shalom, and they're like, what does that mean? Then this is an opportunity for you to present this peace. Is an opportunity for us to say, well, this is what shalom means. And we can present this word and this concept, right? And this reality and this experience that you and I live every single day. So when we say shalom, we mean may you be full of well-being. And we actually see the Apostle Paul use this language in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look what he says. He says, now may the Lord of peace himself, the Lord of peace. There is an authority God has over supernatural peace. And that authority has been given to us as his children. Isn't that a good word? And it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace. At all times and in every situation, the Lord be with you all. What an encouraging word from Paul to the Thessalonians. And 2,000 years later, it is such an encouraging word for you and for me because he is not only the Lord of my life, not only is he my provider, my protector, the lover of my soul, but he is also the Lord of peace and he has deposited peace in me. And it's a supernatural peace that supersedes my logic, my understanding, my intellect, my feelings, my heart. But it is a supernatural peace that comes directly from heaven and it guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Paul calls him the Lord of peace. He gives us his peace at all times. I think that's my favorite part of that verse. He says he gives us peace at all times and in every situation. So church, this morning, whatever situation you're in, whatever seasonal reality that you're facing today, I'm here to remind you that you have the Lord of peace in you and you have peace at all times. That's good news. That's good news. The gospel is good news. How many of you can say amen? That is a good word, Phyllis. As I was putting this together, man, I was just getting so excited. And you know, sometimes when you're about to preach, you kind of visualize yourself preaching. I visualize myself jumping up and down on the stage. I'm not gonna do that today because I don't want you to think I'm weird. I want you to say that Hispanic guy, he's weird. So Paul says, we have his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Paul calls him the Lord of peace, which he gives us peace at all times, in every situation, we have the peace of God. But now you may say, but what does that mean to us today? What does shalom mean today? I want you to know this. Shalom, it communicates to us not just the absence of conflict, but rather the presence of someone. I remember I was born in Honduras. I moved to New York when I was 9 years old, and we lived in a house. When I lived in Honduras, we lived in a house that had the bathroom was not in the house. It was an outhouse. How many of you know what that is? Yeah. An outhouse. Okay, all the old folks know what that is. Young folks are like, what are you talking about? So I remember one night I needed to go, and it was super dark. It was like 12 midnight. And my grandmother was like, just go, you know where it is. And I was like, no, I'm not stepping out there. The monsters are gonna get me. It's dark out there. And I remember one of my aunts said to me, don't worry, I got you, I'll take you. And I remember that as soon as we walked out of the house, she held my hand. And as we were walking closer to the outhouse, it was about 150 feet walk. And I remember as we were walking, I became more confident in every step because I knew that I was not alone. I knew that there was somebody bigger than me, somebody older than me, somebody more powerful with me, walking alongside me, holding my hand. Yeah. And that's what it's like to have the peace of God. It's not about the absence of conflict, but rather it is the presence of someone. And if you're here today and you're feeling alone in the reality that you're in, I'm here to remind you that you are not alone, for Emmanuel is with you. He is holding you by the hands, and he will bring you to your place of victory. Amen. It's about the presence of someone. And you know, Jesus has all these titles, right? He's the Prince of Peace. He is the cornerstone. He is the Rose of Sharon, but he is also called Emmanuel. Before he was born, the angels come to Mary and said, and you shall name him Emmanuel, which literally translates to God is with us. As we walked out into the night, into the darkness, I felt peace in my heart knowing that I was not alone. And I know some of us are walking in some dark places right now, but I want to remind you that the light of Christ is with you. His presence goes with you, and he holds you by the hand. How many of you can say amen? Amen. I love what John 14:1 says. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. Peace is trusting Jesus completely. Peace is trusting Jesus completely. Because even though we don't know what's gonna happen down the road, we can trust our future to him. For he has a plan, for he has a hope, right? For there's so many good things and so many benefits that await us as his children. Peace is trusting Jesus completely, and peace is found in a person, not in a circumstance. Peace is found in a person, not in our health, right? Not in our relationships, not in our material things, not in our homes. And those things are great. I'm not speaking against that, right? But what I'm saying is that peace for us, as the children of God, we find it in a person. And we may be going through circumstances right now where doubt is rising up, where attacks are rising up, where struggles are rising up. If we look at the statistics today, we see that there's a rise in anxiety, especially amongst our young people. We see there's a rise in depression. As a matter of fact, the statistics say that America is the most medicated country in the world. So we know that there's this need of supernatural peace. And I want to remind you, whatever spaces you walk into, whether that's the workplace, the marketplace, your family members, when you and I walk in, the peace of God walks in. And you and I have this power and authority to impact our atmospheres. We can change the atmosphere in our room because God's presence has just stepped in the room through us. And with God's presence comes God's peace. So when we step into a room, we can say, Shalom of God. We declare the Shalom of God right now in your life, in my life, in all situations, just like Paul says. He is the Lord of peace and he gives you peace at all times. Man, that's good news. That's good news. That means that you and I can literally change atmospheres. We can change the atmosphere in our family. And there are spaces where God is calling you to walk into that so you can bring this peace, this shalom of God, this supernatural peace into places of turmoil and conflict. I don't know about you, but I've walked into places where I've made people uncomfortable just because God's presence has walked in. How many of you experienced this before? I've walked into rooms where people have walked out because I've walked in. That's because God's presence has just walked in and the supernatural peace of God has walked in. So you and I have the power to alter atmospheres with God's presence. Amen, amen. How many of you can say amen? All right, you still with me? So Jesus has so many titles, right? And one of his titles is Prince of Peace. And I have good news today, church. The Prince of Peace has come. The Prince of Peace has come. And there was this promise of peace that was foretold. Look what Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 says. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That's interesting language. I don't know about you. I don't know if that's ever impacted you before when you've read it. It says, for us to a child is born. So this supernatural, omnipotent God becomes a child, goes into Mary's womb, and a child is born through the natural process. But it says, but a son is given. Given as what? Given as a sacrificial offering for yours and my peace. This aligns perfectly with the gospel in a verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is the declaration of two different things. A child is born into the world, right? And a son was given for the world. That's good news. And it continues and it says, and the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. How many of you experienced him as the Wonderful Counselor? He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Say with me, Prince of Peace. Amen. He is here today to settle our hearts with supernatural peace. Verse 7 says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Oh, man, that is good news. There is no end to his government. There is no end to his peace because his peace that he offers is not just supernatural. It is eternal. God's peace has always existed because he is the Lord of peace. It says he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is so good. The peace that will know no end. And you and I have that peace in our hearts. Amen? Amen? Now, if we go into John 14, Jesus is speaking with his disciples and he gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says these powerful words. If you look at the screens with me, and it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, verse 27, pay attention. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Those are two separate statements. How many of you can say amen? Amen. My peace I leave you as I'm going. My peace I give you. Here's the issue sometimes with us, and I'll speak of myself. He says, my peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Sometimes when I operate in my own strength, I'm leaving his peace. Sometimes when I operate in my own strength, in my own intellect, my own understanding, I forget that I have this powerful, transcendent gift that is in me and that I can experience his peace at all times. But sometimes I make the mistake, or I forget, or in my busyness, or in the challenges, or whatever I may be going through, sometimes when the trials rise up in our lives, they come up against our peace. And we forget, right, that we have this transcendent peace that we can access at any time because it's already in us. I'm guilty of sometimes leaving the peace behind. And I love what Jesus says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, hey, there's a counterfeit peace going around that will offer you peace, but that is based on perfect conditions. That is based on you having all the resources that you need. It's based on no obstacles. It is based on just this awesome life and you never see hardship. But we know that the reality is that in life, we will go through adversity. We will go through hardship. But in the middle, in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the hurricane, we have the peace of God that will keep our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen. John 16:33, just a couple of chapters later, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Only in Jesus can we have the true peace of God. Not in religion, not in attending a church service, but in a vital walk with Jesus, our Savior. In a vital walk with Jesus, the Messiah. When we walk and we make this choice to live for Jesus, all the benefits of the Savior come with him. And one of those benefits is the peace, the shalom, the transcendent peace of God that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I wish Jesus would have said, in this world, it's gonna be a piece of cake. Who would have preferred that? How many of us like trials? No, I don't like trials. I don't like tribulation. No, I want things to be easy. But Jesus promised us, right? Because we love all the good things that he promises us, right? Amen? But here he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. When Jesus says, shalom, I leave with you, it means you are not alone. Shalom, I give you, it's already deposited in you. Now, peace is not something we can manufacture or produce. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We have it because it's not about the absence of turmoil or conflict. It is about the presence of Jesus in our lives. Peace was foretold in Isaiah, and it was announced in Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 quickly. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." This is what I believe about the peace of God. The birth of Jesus, listen to this. The birth of Jesus marks the breaking in of God's peace into a broken world. The eternal King breaks into time, into a broken world. And the birth of Jesus marks this incredible event, the breaking in of God's peace into a broken world. Maybe you're experiencing some type of brokenness today. Maybe today's your first time here, and this is a message that is specifically catering to your need and your breaking of your heart, or whatever it is that you're going through, whatever brokenness you may be walking into. I want you to know that today can be the day that Jesus can break into your life and bring his supernatural peace. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus continues this conversation about peace with his disciples. He already sees their end. He already sees what they're about to go through. He sees, but he reminds them about the peace that he leaves and the peace that he gives. So he shows up and he just appears to them. Do you remember after the crucifixion, the disciples ran and they hid? Remember that? How many of us are guilty of running and hiding? All right, so don't judge the disciples. So John 20, verse 19, says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked," I want you to focus on that part. It says, "with the doors locked." And it says, it's so interesting. It says, "for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Jesus comes in, doors are locked. He supernaturally comes into the situation and he says, "Shalom be with you." Remember what shalom means? It means to be whole. It means to be secure. It means to flourish. It means to be well. It means to be complete and to be whole. So Jesus in this moment steps into a situation and an atmosphere of fear, an atmosphere of doubt, and he comes in and he declares the shalom of God, for he is the Prince of Shalom. And he says, "I know you're afraid right now. I know there's uncertainty. I know you have no idea what's about to happen, but fear not, I am here. I am the Prince of Peace, and peace comes with me." And in their very moment, in the very hour where they were scared, where they didn't know what was happening, Jesus comes in. But remember, the doors were locked. I think some of us may be experiencing this right now. We're in a room and the doors are locked. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's relationship troubles. Maybe your marriage. And maybe you're locked behind closed doors. But Jesus can come in and he can bring the shalom of God to whatever it is that you're going through. So church, let's be encouraged today that the Prince of Shalom, who is a part of our lives, can come into any situation and the transcendent, powerful peace of God comes with him. How many of you can say amen? Amen. At the moment when fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, doubt, and depression were at the highest levels, Jesus comes in and he says, "No need to fear, for I am here." I wrote that myself. No need to fear, I am here. And he says that to us today. Peace be with you. I am with you. I will lead you. I will lead you in, and I will lead you through. Whatever reality or whatever season you're in, he will lead us in and through. If we continue in John 20, verse 21 to 26, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, have you seen this theme? Even if your doors are locked, Jesus can still come in. And it says, Jesus came in, stood among them, and said again, shalom be with you. Peace be with you. Peace was foretold, peace was announced, and now the most important thing, peace can be experienced. Shalom experience is a multidimensional, complete well-being. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Not only was it promised by Jesus, but it has been given to us by Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, shalom, the peace of God, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Here's the good news. Jesus offers us peace with God, right? When we come into right relationship with God, we are immediately at peace with God, right? He also gives us the peace of God. Not only are we in peace with God, he gives us the peace of God, and he also gives us peace with each other, right? The Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are the peacemakers. So that means that you and I, because the shalom of God is in us, we have the authority to bring peace to wherever we go. How many can say amen? Amen. You still with me? Oh, yeah. Look what Colossians 3:15 says. Paul, again, just received this incredible revelation of the peace of God. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Sometimes we think that we need peace in our minds, right? How many of you think that? And I'm not saying that we don't, but the peace of God comes into our hearts first, right? Out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. So if there's peace in our hearts, we will express peace. We will talk about peace, right? It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So we're called to peace. When we walk in peace, we're obeying God's word. When we walk in peace, we're experiencing the promise that Jesus has given us, that he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom of God. And we have this incredible peace, transcendent, right? Which is supernatural. And it just settles our hearts and it guides our life. So good. You were called to peace. Here are three characteristics of the peace of God. Number one, God's peace is transcendent. I looked up the word transcendent because it's kind of a fancy Sunday word, right? It's like a Sunday school word. Oh, it's transcendent. Transcendent means that it goes beyond logic. It goes beyond understanding. It is something that cannot be understood by the human mind. It is something that is supernatural. I don't know about you, but I don't fully comprehend the peace of God, but I know that I experience it on an everyday basis. I receive it. If God has promised it to me, then I'm going to receive it. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to walk in it. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, don't be anxious about anything, right? And we see that there's so much anxiety and depression and mental health issues. And Paul receives this amazing revelation almost 2,000 years ago about the mind and about the heart and the emotions that we experience when we go through hardships. And Paul gives us this great encouragement. And he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. So if anxiety is rising up within you, it's time to pray and it's time to place a petition before God. And there's also a posture in which we do it. It says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, verse 7. This is what happens when we do that. When we pray, when we place our petitions, when we enter God's presence with a posture of thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I am just so grateful as to what God has done in my life. When I look back at my youth and I look back on my life, when I was running the streets and just doing all types of sin, just looking to fulfill this void, looking to fill my heart because nothing was able to do it. And then I meet Jesus, transforms my life. He gives me peace. He gives me love. He pours his grace out over me. He gives me purpose. He puts a calling on my life. And today, I come to the presence of God with a posture of thanksgiving because of what he has done for me, for what he's doing, and for what he's about to do. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not some situation, in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Second, the peace of God is perfect. Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace, right? I love that. It is a peace that is complete, it is a peace that is whole, and it is a peace that is perfect. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Third, the peace of God is transformative. We can't remain the same person once we experience God's peace. You know, I was talking to Tom earlier, and this would probably give our age, Tom, but how many of you remember Tang, T-A-N-G? It was like this fraudulent powder that was supposed to be orange juice. You remember that? I remember when my mom would come home from the supermarket and she would bring the big one, boy. Woo! And my brother and I would just run to the kitchen, get our mugs, right? And we would put literally like 12 spoons of this sugary destruction, right? And we would fill it up to the top and we would have our straws and we'll grab some chips, go to the living room and we just start sipping. But then when I tasted real orange juice and I said, man, this is different. It's got pulp in it. This tastes so good. And I thought that was such a brilliant example that Tom brought up. That is, there's a counterfeit peace where all the conditions have to be perfect. And there's the shalom of God that no matter what the conditions are, it speaks of a reality in our hearts that the Prince of Peace reigns in our hearts. Amen. Colossians 3:15, the peace of God is transformative. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you will call to peace. To peace and be thankful. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're in a vital walk with Jesus, our hearts are settled because we have peace with God and we have the peace of God. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And I want to end with this scripture, Psalm 29, verse 11. It says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He gives us strength for what we're going through, and he gives us peace. He gives us the shalom of God. It's not about the absence of conflict. It's not about the absence of war. It's not about the absence of difficulty, but rather the presence of Emmanuel in our lives. If we could just stand to our feet for just a moment. There's an invitation here today. If you are a follower of Jesus, just an invitation to continue to experience that peace. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, today there's an invitation for the Prince of Peace to come into your life so that you may be able to experience the shalom of God, to be in right standing with God, to be complete, to be whole, to be flourishing, that all may be well with your soul. And I believe there's an invitation here today. And the Lord would like for us to respond this morning. What will your response be this morning? Is there a closed door you're behind? Is there a locked room where you're standing at currently? Maybe in your marriage, your health, finances. Maybe in your mental health. There's a powerful invitation this morning for us to continue to experience the shalom of God. In the Greek, irene of God. Just like Paul says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I just want to thank you for your supernatural peace. Father, I pray that you fill your people today with your peace, with your presence. Father, and I pray, Lord, that you empower this congregation and remind us today that we are bearers of peace. We carry the peace of God with us in every room or space that we walk into. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you would like to receive him today, would you just raise your hand right where you're standing? Today could be that day that you experience the supernatural peace of God, the shalom of God, and be whole, be complete, and flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Jenny to come up.